you. First off, today I would just like to thank some of our sponsors real quick, and that's primarily the University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture and the Arkansas Rice Checkoff Fund that helped sponsor a lot of this research that I'll be talking about today. One of the things that we're facing more and more in crop production is optimization of our profit margins. And I put this up here to talk about nitrogen seems to be soil fertility's favorite nutrient in the sense that it's applied at the highest number of acreage and in the highest tonnage across the United States and many parts of the world. And it's often been the focus of, you know, our primary nutrient since the dawn of the Green Revolution. Nitrogen is key for several reasons. One of the primary ones is with increasing costs, we're seeing smaller and smaller profit margins in many of our production systems. So what we need to do is ensure that we have proper recommendations or guidelines out there for our farmers to use to ensure that they can maintain profitability and increase their business. One of the other things about nitrogen is it has high environmental concerns. When you look at a region that has both production, agricultural, and natural systems, what we find is that production systems are primarily nitrogen-rich sources. We apply a lot of nitrogen in very concentrated areas, which is surrounded by, you know, natural systems, which are very nitrogen-poor. When you have a source next to a sink with that type of gradient, chances are it's going to move somewhere. So I'd like to give you a little generic description of what we do in the state of Arkansas for making a fertilizer recommendation. So most often we're going to select some type of crop. In our situation, it would be rice. The next thing we're going to do is, you know, have some type of yield goal in mind. And then I put up here soil type because that's a very key point of the Arkansas rice recommendation is what type of soil you're growing your rice on. Basically, we have two categories, silt loams and clays, and they're very different in the amount of nitrogen they require to grow a rice crop. So on those three things, we generally make some type of recommendation for a farmer to produce his rice. Well, there's something interesting about this concept. If that farmer has average nitrogen fertility, he's going to optimize his nitrogen inputs, he's going to maximize his returns. This will probably result in his highest profit, but it's relatively low in terms of environmental impact. On the other hand, you have that farmer that has low infertility relative to your either research stations or where you did your variety trials. So in this case, your crop is inefficient, you have reduced yield, you decrease your profits, but the upside, if there is any, you have relatively low environmental impacts in that type of situation. Then we move to the other side. When your field is much higher than those either research stations, that leads to excess application of nitrogen, which in a lot of times in rice will actually reduce your yield. And for the farmer's perspective, this is probably going to be his lowest profit situation, but also in terms of the system as a whole, this is probably going to lead to the highest environmental impacts due to all that excess nitrogen that we're applying to the field. So what are we really talking about? I put up a diagram here of what we like to use is the nitrogen cycle in rice. And in soil-based testing, in any type of soil testing, what we're trying to talk about is how we get a particular nutrient, in this case nitrogen, from the soil into the plant. And this is really where we want to focus. How do we get organic nitrogen into that plant? There's somewhere in there where we have to break down that process and be able to understand that particular relationship. So what do we actually know about predicting nitrogen mineralization? Well, a lot of people, I guess, I would probably ask this guy, because chances are he's going to give me a better idea than some of the information I have now. But what we hopefully can do is use some type of soil-based nitrogen testing. And the ones that we have up here, probably the most common that we've all heard about and are familiar with, we have what I want to call two conventional methods, which are a simple KCl extract that quantifies inorganic nitrogen, and then we have total nitrogen by combustion method. But we also have some developmental type methods, and I propose the Illinois soil nitrogen test, and direct steam distillation. So a simplified view of what we're trying to measure. This is kind of what I would like to look at it as, and I'll describe some of the things here. We basically have four pools within the total nitrogen in the soil, which we're trying to quantify, because they're all working in some type of equilibrium to supply nitrogen to the plant. Those four pools are on the top. We have some type of non-labile soil organic matter. It's generally recalcitrant and very hard to break down. On the left-hand side, we have abiotic labile nitrogen, and I would describe this as free amino acids or amino sugars in the soil. But then on the right-hand side, we have amino acids and amino sugars that are potentially bound up in microbial biomass within the soil. And then we have that inorganic nitrogen pool as ammonium, which is supplying nitrogen directly to the plant. So we have our four soil tests, and let's look at how they compare and what they're measuring. If we look at a KCl extract, we measure one pool, and that's inorganic nitrogen. When we look at total N, we measure all the pools together. The difference about ISNT and DSD is they do something very different. They kind of measure a combination of both. So when we look at these new developmental methods, you know, potentially we're looking at something that total nitrogen is, and we're looking at something that KCl extract is doing, and hopefully we can glean some information about this, what actually is occurring. So the objectives of this test were basically to see whether or not we could correlate and calibrate the Illinois soil nitrogen test for rice production in Arkansas. Like anything, we started off using our conventional methods, and after about 7 years of data, this is the relationship that we had. And so, you know, we were a little bit discouraged about this, but one of the things we thought is that maybe we need to look outside of the box. Is there something else going on here that we're not looking at? So if we look at a typical rice plant, we could say from published literature that the rice roots generally go somewhere near 60 centimeters deep. And conventional soil sampling tells us that we need to look at the top 15 centimeters. Unfortunately, this is a little bit skewed in the fact that if you're expecting that whole volume of soil to supply nitrogen to the plant, then why aren't you looking at the whole volume of soil? So what we proposed is a new sampling depth where we looked at the top 2 feet or 60 centimeters of the soil profile as a way to predict grain yield and fertilizer use. So we just revised our objectives a little bit. We wanted to look at percent relative grain yield for both the ISNT and DSD at each incremental depth of 15 centimeters to 60 centimeters, and then we wanted to attempt and calibrate that soil test for each of those depths. So what I have here is, it's a little bit busy, but I'd like to explain it. On the left-hand side, I have the series of graphs that represent each 15 centimeter increment additively from the surface to 60 centimeters. So the best way to look at it is graph number 1 will represent 0 to 15, which is currently the large graph on the screen. The next graph will represent 0 to 30, so a combination of the top two layers of the soil, and then 0 to 45 and 0 to 60. Another thing that I'll point out is that on the y-axis we have relative grain yield, and on the x-axis we have the ISNT in milligrams of nitrogen per kilogram of soil. As you can see in this graph, there wasn't much of a relationship. I will point out that if you look at the scale of the x-axis, we go from about 80 to 240 ppm of nitrogen from the soil test. As we move to 0 to 30, it's important that you look back at the x-axis again because our range has changed. We're now going from 60 to 160, which is quite a bit different than the first graph. So we're working with a much lower soil test when we combine those two depths. As you can see here, our correlation improves significantly when we add that next 15 centimeters. And then we go to 0 to 45 centimeters, and this is actually where we find our best relationship at the coefficient of determination near 0.73. So what we wanted to see is, we're a little worried now, is there some type of depth interaction here that's affecting our test? And if that was true, then at 60 centimeters, our coefficient of determination should improve as well. But we found that it didn't. So there's some type of interaction or mechanism there between 0 and 45 centimeters that's allowing us to grasp what is occurring in the soil system. This is just a brief table that summarizes the results from the ISNT and the DSD. You can see there are R squared values or coefficients of determination. For the 0, 15 are relatively the same, but we see a pretty significant difference from the 30 centimeter depth. You know, there's quite a bit of difference between ISNT and the DSD, but ultimately we find that 0 to 45 centimeters is our best correlation and is actually with direct steam distillation. So what I want to do now is show you our calibration results, and this is set up in the exact same manner as our first set of graphs, only on the y-axis what we're looking at is the fertilizer rate to achieve 90% relative grain yield. Unfortunately in rice we don't have an EONR. We're working on developing that type of relationship. So what we tried to do is let's use 90% relative grain yield, and that's hopefully somewhere near what corn producers like to use is EONR. So if you can look at this graph, the same relationship exists here where we have the higher scale on the x-axis from 80 to 240. And what I will point out, I apologize for this, this point right here is a little bit hard to see, but that was actually our only non-responsive site this year. And it's right down there on the 0 kilograms of N to achieve 90% relative grain yield. As we move to a lower depth, you can see we do see that same significant increase in the coefficient of determination as we just move from the top 15 to the next 15 centimeters of the soil. We jumped up to 0.67 with the ISNT. But once again, at 0 to 45, we see our best coefficient of determination at 0.82, which mimics what we found with the percent relative grain yield. And of course it drops off again a little bit when we add the next 15 centimeters of the soil. This table is set up just like the previous one, where we're looking at comparison of calibration for the two soil tests. Once again, I'd like to point out with the ISNT at the 0 to 30, we do have quite a bit of difference in the coefficients for that 0 to 30 centimeter depth. But of course our best relationship is down here when we look at the 0 to 45 with the DSD. Another thing that we wanted to look at is there's often been a few questions about how well the test correlates with total nitrogen. Several people have suggested that a test that correlates with total nitrogen doesn't really have any validity in soil testing. Why can't you just use total nitrogen? Well, in a lot of states, total nitrogen doesn't work when you only test the top 6 inches or 15 centimeters of the soil. But what we wanted to look at is, well, what happens when we do sample deep? And what we found is that, at least in the state of Arkansas, there may be some validity to increase sampling depth for total nitrogen as a predictor of either crop yield or calibration for fertilizer recommendation. One thing that I will point out is that, aside from statistics, if we were to remove this point, whether it be a true outlier or not, this relationship would increase significantly. So for as far as future directions, we want to look at the success of soil-based nitrogen tests into other crops. One of the things that we've heard a lot at these meetings and that we've found in Arkansas is there's definitely an inter-regional type of dynamic going on here. The test is not applicable across all rice-producing states, or at least we don't know that yet. Chances are there's going to be some type of region interaction there. The other thing is we need an improved understanding of the processes and mechanisms that work on an interregional basis so that we can expand it to other regions and other crops. Lastly, in conclusion, the thing that we have to say is in the development of a soil test or correlation and calibration, it's always important to look at the mechanisms. Here, adaptive soil sampling procedures. Just because the conventional depth is 0 to 6 inches or 15 centimeters, that doesn't mean it's going to work for every soil test. It's important to think about crop, soil type, and your particular method. The other thing is, of course, with increased depth, you increase the utility of conventional methods such as nitrogen and carbon. And with that,